Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose, Rose Colombo, right here for you at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Well, welcome, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the world of crazies. There's craziness going on everywhere. I don't care where you look, turn, watch, see. We wish we could unsee a lot of the craziness going on. Masks, goggles, gloves, hazmat suits next, I suppose. Lockdowns, imprisoned in our homes, no work, no business, no jobs, no socializing. What kind of world is this? I'm serious. I mean, it is craziness. Don't touch your loved ones. Don't kiss them. Don't hug them. Don't hold their hands. Stay away from them. I mean, we've been touching each other and hugging each other and kissing each other for since time began, starting with Adam and Eve. So I don't think it's going to stop now because of a flu. It's a real flu, and according to a Japanese scientist and Nobel Peace award winner and Peace Prize award winner, get that out. He said, and he's also a professor, he said that the coronavirus was man-made in Wuhan, China, and it is not connected to bats, and it is not a natural virus, because if it was, it couldn't spread from China all over the world, considering the different temperatures around the world, and survive. So it's a really interesting time we're living in, and so many different controversial opinions on this topic. So anyway, today I have some good news for you, because we're going to think positive. We're going to help you learn how to live and survive no matter what happens in our lives, because you will have a different frame of mind. And today I have a fantastic guest, a successful businessman with a wealth of information on how to get through life and work, business, even through tough times like we're experiencing today with lockdowns on businesses and jobs in many, many states, and how to negotiate and make your situation a win-win for yourself, those you love, those you work with, as an employer or an employee. So you won't want to miss this information. We need it. It's badly needed today, because depression, because of the lockdowns and the businesses that are being permanently shut down and the jobs that are permanently shut down, according to doctors and health experts and the Department of Justice, there is a substantial increase in deep depression based on financial, emotional, and physical distresses. When you have financial problems, you're about to lose your home, your car, your life savings, your family. It is very, very depressing. So according to the experts, suicidal tendencies, suicides, and deep depression, anxiety, frustration, and crime has all increased, including domestic violence and child abuse. So we need to turn this around and start thinking positive. But we need tools and we need information on how to do that. And so my guest name is Ron Zayas, and he will share his informative and enlightening book, Lessons from the Lin Master, Business and Life Lessons Learned by a Grateful Son. I wanted to mention a couple of news items, though, that I found interesting right before we enter into the world of authors and experts. So let me just mention them to you so you can look them up. The Daily Mail, 3 hours of bloodshed in the Big Apple. One person is killed and six are injured in shootings across New York City as a 20-year-old woman is stabbed to death in a day of violence that kicked off at 4:30 p.m. This follows the death of a young man trying to help a transgender woman from being attacked by BLM and Antifa over in Portland, and they beat him to death. I mean, this is happening in the cities of New York, Portland, Seattle, etc., and no one is holding the Democrat governors and mayors and the DAs who are allowing this to happen in these cities. And this is unnecessary. We need law and order in our country, and we aren't getting it for our tax dollars. And another interesting article that has to do with business, which we will be talking about in just a moment, is on Sons of Liberty Media. It was hard to read. Sons of Liberty Media. And it's DARPA launches Project Chariot in bid to shield big profits. A new project has been launched by the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, that is a new type of cryptography that will protect the profits of big tech firms and allow access into 3 trillion internet connected devices, including yours. So you will definitely want to read this article. Again, it's by Sons of Liberty. You can Google it. DARPA launches Project Chariot in bid to shield big tech profits, and that affects everyone in business and everyone in the nation, period. So lots of things happening in our country that have to deal with finances, business, money, and our livelihoods and our state of mind, our emotions, physical and financially. So we're going to take a break, and then we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts and introduce you to our dynamic guest, Ron Zayas, in just one moment. So don't touch that dial because we will be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you. But some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hi, we're back. And yes, Columbo Chronicles is on their tail. And we are going to be talking to a dynamic author, Ron Zayas. He's sharing his book, Lessons from the Lin Master, Business and Life Lessons Learned by a Grateful Son. The book is armed with the life lessons he learned from his father, Ron Zayas, and that's Z-A-Y-A-S. And he helps you rise to greater success in life, business, and negotiations while doing it ethically. And that is a very important word that we are missing today in many, many business deals and businesses. So, what is the secret to success? And why do some people find it and others search around in vain? Well, he has no magic bullet. Ron Zayas was fortunate enough to have an involved father who has provided a varied and rewarding set of advice throughout his life on everything from overcoming cliques at work to being an ethical business leader to negotiating deals that last to spotting liars and disarming them. Maybe he should have entered into the world of politics. We have a lot of liars. But he is a successful businessman, and he's using his years as a CEO, entrepreneur, and C-level officer at a large global company. Ron wraps sage advice from his Cuban father in short, funny stories that anyone can relate to. Lessons from the Lean Master, attaining funny and concise manual, perfect for CEOs, managers, entrepreneurs, anyone looking to reach goals or singing, get more out of life. Simply get more out of life. And on that note, let's say hello to Ron Zayas and see what he can share with us today on turning our lives around in this time of a crisis. Hi, Ron. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, and thank you very much for having me on the show.
Well, we're happy to have you on because, you know, so many businesses are locked down today. So many people are told to work at home. They can't work at home. They need to be out and see people in person or be at the business. So people are searching for ways to survive and keep their rent paid and keep their cars and keep their savings and their equity in their homes and find a way to survive until the country is open again. So your book is very, very powerful and enlightening and helpful to so many people. Lessons from the Lean Master. So who is the Lean Master in the title of your book?
Lean is my father's name, so he is my father, and along with my mother, they've been great parents all these years. My father really was an interesting person in the sense that he spent a lot of time with his children, and he tended to teach us skills that as a child you just didn't think mattered much or were silly. And then as I became an adult, they just had more and more impact on everything that I did.
So many of us have found that out to be true as we become adults. And you have been a success in business. And so why bother to write a book about your father's advice instead of your own advice?
You know, it's funny you mention that because when I originally started the book, I was writing, and I've written other books, but when I was writing this one, I wanted to share all the things that had made me successful. And the book was about me, and because I'm just so great. But when I started to write it more and more, I realized that the things that have made me successful and the advice that I was starting to share in the book, it wasn't my advice. It was my father's voice. So halfway through writing the book, I decided to write around and give credit where credit was due and write it from his point of view. So that's why the book changed from being about me to being about my father and his. And I also realized that a lot of people just didn't have a parent like that that really took the time to show those interpersonal skills, to show things of how important it is to be ethical, how important it is to be true to who you are, rather than doing anything in order to make a dollar or doing anything in order to be successful.
Yes, that's so true, because people want to work. They want to climb the ladder of success. And like you point out in your book, sometimes the people that you trust aren't always trustworthy and honest. So who is your specific audience for this book?
The book really is designed for three types of people. They're designed for people who are starting out in business or really starting off after graduation and starting off in careers, whether they're business or anywhere else. Somebody who's starting out and wants to to get their own voice, wants to achieve their goals. I'm hoping to give them the skills that let them do that in a way that's honest and true to themselves. The second audience is really for a lot of people who are managers or CEOs in businesses, people who are starting their own businesses or are managing and leading others. I think the book gives a lot of advice to help you lead people in the way that is good for them and good for you, because I think ultimately that's what's successful for society and for business and for any type of organization. And the third group is just for people who feel that they don't have full control over their lives and want to be able to learn the skills that help them have a direction and have whatever their personal goals are. Because learning how to spot liars, learning to build teams, learning to bring out the best in yourself and understand how to deal with, you know, that voice inside of you that says take the easy way or take the wrong way, those kind of skills I think can help people in almost any part of their lives.
Yes, in your book, you tell a story, if you wouldn't mind sharing it, or a little part of it, about how your father warned you as a young person not to take a particular job, but you were determined to take it anyway, and how that turned out and changed your life that had to do with the beautiful receptionist.
Yes, I was applying for a job in Southern California, and it was a very formative job. I had just sold my company. I'd been vacationing for a year. I was, you know, I was very young and was feeling good about starting a new career. And I went to look at this one company, and I was really impressed. And as you mentioned, I was impressed with the receptionist. And I told my father about the job and about the CEO and what he was describing to me. And my father immediately said, everything that person is saying hits the hallmarks of the type of voice, the type of words, and the type of patterns that liars use. This person is lying to you. And he went through and dissected everything I had told them and showed me very clearly how everything the CEO was telling me wasn't true, that the company wasn't successful, that they weren't growing, that they had a lot of issues, and that this might not be the best job for me to take. And in hindsight, I mean, he was 100% right. Everything he talked about and the patterns that he talked about, how liars communicate, were all very clear. And the company was having a lot of financial issues and had a lot of lawsuits against it and didn't have a real good product. And again, I like to say in my own defense, I ended up marrying the receptionist. So it was a great deal for me, and we're still married 27 years later. So I'm not complaining. But those skills of finding out when people are lying to you, that's a very important skill to have.
Exactly, and that's not only important in business, because business depends on politicians, and therefore people should learn these skills so they know who's making promises that they can't keep, or maybe are lying about their background or their works they did and they weren't their works, they plagiarized, or maybe they have ulterior motives. And so I think your book also applies to politicians. And so, and because without ethical, like you say, ethical people to negotiate and ethical people to run a business, and the country is a business, we have a lot of problems, which we're witnessing today, and a lot of division. And so I think your book also addresses politicians when they could use this book as well. So what are the most important lessons covered in your book?
I think the two most important lessons that are covered in the book, number one is what my father, and I put it as a bonus lesson at the end. My father always told me to be an adult. In Spanish, it's, you know, hágase hombre, which in my case would be, you know, be a man, but also very be a woman. To be true who you are. It's very hard sometimes to see things that are going on and not stand up. It's very hard sometimes to see something and say, well, it's not affecting me, but it's affecting somebody else. My father, I think one of the biggest lessons my father taught me was to have the courage to understand that we're, you know, we're society. We're in this together. You help the weakest people out there. You help bring your strength not to bear on somebody, to be a bully, to use it to intimidate people. You don't use your strength, your position, your money to make things worse. You use them to make things better. And that is easy when you have power, although it's usually used to be corrupting and to be bullying. But when you don't have power, when you're new to a company, when you're new to a school, when you don't have a lot of friends, it's hard to find that voice that still says, I'm going to stand up for others. And my father taught me that not only is that an important, you know, part of who we are, that are, you know, I have children, that my children are always watching, that they're grown now and I have grandchildren, but that they're watching and they're learning from me by what I do when I treat others or when I'm in a bad position. I think the skills that he taught me on how to identify when we're not being true to ourselves is a great chapter. And then I think the other great chapter, again, is there's a whole section on lying and negotiation. And we are trained to spot liars. I mean, we've been doing this for a long time, going around with each other. Why do we believe lies? Why do we look at somebody? And there's a difference, by the way, between somebody who lies and somebody who's a liar. We all lie. You know, you look great in that outfit. Oh, no, you haven't gained any weight. You know, I mean, those are lies. But most of the time, people who lie on a day-to-day basis are lying to save somebody's feelings, or they're lying to be polite, or they're lying for something very minor. Liars create a strategy of lying. Their whole life is built upon that. And the words and lessons that they show and the way they do their patterns make them very easy to identify. You know, they're always the biggest. They're always the best. They've never had a failure. It's always somebody else's fault. They always talk about the future and how they're going to make something great, but they're unable to talk about the things that they've done before. When you see those patterns in people, those are the ones you want to be concerned about, because those aren't just lying. They're pathological liars, and those are very destructive to life and society and to any business.
Exactly, and that's why I say your book is very important for anyone to read, especially during election times, because they have to be able to spot the liars and vote for ethical people. I'm not talking about party. I'm just talking about people who are running for office, anyone running for office, because that affects our businesses. It affects our livelihood. It affects our taxes. It affects us personally. And so it's very, very important. And people really didn't think about these things in the past. They just trusted them, and whether they were lying or not. And they liked them. They liked their wave. They liked their smile. They liked their designer suit. And they voted for them. But I think these books are opening up a lot more eyes to how important it is to make sure we don't just elect someone based on their smile and their promises. So you also talk about in your book about you appear to be supportive of females who are working and don't seem to be able to get ahead as a female. And you say, teach a person to learn and she will thank you. Teach her to think and she will be successful throughout her life. And do you believe that women have it a little more difficult to rise to the top of the ladder than men do in certain areas of business?
I believe it is. And for a couple things. One, I believe that as things get more and more parity, you just see women succeeding more and more, and that's great. You know, more women graduate from college today than men do. Women tend to have a different style of how they run companies, of how they run businesses, of how they run organizations, and how they even run governments. And I think there's a lot of benefit and positive there. I also find it interesting that a lot of my class, I always teach classes that are based on the book. So I teach on negotiation and how to get ahead and how to build a team. Most of the people who come to those classes are women. And, you know, especially in my experience with women in business is they need an environment that is open to different from what a guy's point of view may be. You know, I have a very specific way of doing things, and it took a lot for me to understand and to learn from my end too, that different isn't bad. And, you know, getting back to what you were saying about somebody being of character, I don't have to like somebody that I hire. I don't have to agree with their politics or their views or their religion. But if I hire somebody who's of good character, if I hire somebody that has all the good fundamentals and I give them an environment to thrive in, they're going to do well for them and they're going to do well for me. If I hire somebody who doesn't have character, they're going to ultimately be bad for my business and be bad for me. Now, how does that apply to women? I think environments with business, there are a lot of toxic environments to the way women, and again, I'm not trying to generalize, obviously women are very different and every individual is different, but the type of environment that you create, if it is toxic to women, not only are you destroying more than 50% of your work, but you're destroying a whole group of people that can bring a lot to your business and that can lead you in different ways that you wouldn't have gotten there on your own. And I just think that's a stupid business move.
Yes, I actually have a family member who helped take a business, and she didn't have a college degree, but she's was trained by the best since she was 16 in this field. And she took that business and turned it into a multi-million dollar business. And then, speaking of females, the wife got jealous and thought she was being paid too much money, and she convinced her husband to let her go so that they could have, take her money that they were paying out to her and keep it. And as you said, if you're being unethical or jealous or envious or any of those things and you don't see the benefit of that person in the business and then there's greed, that business is no longer in existence. It took a huge dive.
It's a shame, and you see that in sales a lot of times where people will hire a salesperson. A salesperson will start to make a lot of money, which means that the business is making even more, and they'll fire the salesperson out of jealousy of how much that person is making. You know, the owner will make a decision of that person makes too much money. That's not only not fair, it's just stupid business. And I will say one other thing. With the negotiation classes that I teach, where I teach people how to negotiate for salaries or for promotions, again, most of the audience is women. And it's interesting because one of the things I do at the beginning is I say, give me somebody will talk about what their situation is at work. And I'll say to the rest of the class, do you feel that she has the strength in this negotiation or do you feel that she's on the weak side? And invariably people will say, no, she's got the strong part here. There's a lot of value that she brings. But when I ask that person specifically, they'll say, no, I'm on the weak side. My employer has more authority here. Part of what we do in the book is to try to teach you how to do a fair negotiation, how to understand. And when you do fair, it's not just that you're being fair to the other party, it's that you're being fair to yourself. And in most cases, and again, I don't want to generalize, but in my experience from these classes, it does tend to happen a lot to women. Women are very critical of their position and their skills before they go into a negotiation. And the book helps rid of that and understand that if you're going to do a good negotiation for both parties, you have to understand what you bring to the table and be fair about that too.
Right. And so in the end, the women who generally have that experience, sometimes they go on to open their own businesses by taking lessons from books like Lessons from the Landmaster, which empower them, and they move on and end up with their own businesses. And so, is this a business book or a father-son book? What would you say?
I'd say first and foremost, and that's a great distinction. I think first and foremost, it's a life book because I think everything around your business and everything around your life revolves around you and how ethical and how strong you want to be in who you are and what's important to you. And I think the book helps you get the tools to be that way and to get the skills to have other people help you rather than have other people get in your way. It is taught from a very personal perspective, which is a father teaching a son. And that's the perspective that I have. But I like to, and it's even more specific. It's a Cuban father teaching a Cuban son in ways that are very peculiar to the culture I grew up in. But when people have read the book, they've come back and they said to me, "I got that. It was funny, and I didn't use those particular words, but those are lessons that I understand." I think the human condition is much more you know, much more non-divisive than we tend to think. More people are alike than they are different. And the book can help get those lessons. And again, if you are a good person, if you are good at helping others, or you are good at helping others succeed, you're going to be successful. And the book shows you the tools to take those innate qualities and use them in very practical ways.
Yes, and you also mention in your book how important it is to have a father and a mother in your life and who care about you learning lessons. And that was a quality, I think, up until maybe the 70s and 80s when the USA began to change into a liberal nation and divorce increased and latchkey kids, and they didn't get the benefit of what the children whose parents stayed together and cared about their children and made sure that they learned the lessons of life before they went out there like you did. Maybe you didn't get them as young people, which most people don't, but as an adult and you start getting out into the world on your own, of course you start realizing, my dad said that, my mom said that, oh, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so all those things start to come back because they've never deleted from your head. They're always in your computer brain, in your head. And so they're just stored. And so eventually God brings them back, and then you remember dad, you remember mom. But so many people don't have that, especially today with the divorce rate that could go from 40 to 70% in our country, which is very, very bad. So what would you say to those young people who don't have a mom and dad that cared about them?
Well, and,
they want to be successful.
Definitely. And again, one of the reasons why I put the lessons out there was for the people who didn't have that. I will say, again, I believe people can be quality people. I don't break them down to whether they're liberal or conservative. I'm extremely liberal as am my parents, but still they've always been good people, and I've tried to be good people to my children and my family. I also understand that there are a lot of people out there that don't have those advantages. And I'd say that the main thing that it breaks down to is if you don't have somebody in your life, you know, if you weren't fortunate enough to have a good parent, and I had two. I mean, my father and I. My father has given me a lot of advice, but my mommy is my mommy. And I was always very close to her growing up and very grateful for all the warm things that she taught me. But I would say this, if you don't have that somebody in that life, in your life, find somebody like that. Find somebody that you, not that agrees with you, not that is a mirror of you. Find somebody that you like their character, that you've seen them in tough times and you've said they've done the right thing, regardless of whether it was in business, in personal, whether it was religion, whether it was, you know, in any other type of secular area, it doesn't matter. If you find somebody who's a good person, ask them for help. Ask them, especially, you know, if they've had more success in the area that you want to be in, whether it's marriage or business or anything else, say to them, I like the things that you do and I like who you are. How did you get there and how can you help me? And the one thing I say over and over in the book and I found in life is that when you ask somebody to help you, most people will. You just have to make sure you're asking the right person so that you're learning the right lessons. And to me, I think that's the most important thing. And the most important thing about my family is that they taught me the right lessons and that they taught me that they were always there for me. And I taught that to my children, and hopefully my children will teach it to their children and my grandchildren. But teach somebody and be open to listen and learn from other people. And I think we're all going to be a lot better when we find things that keep us together rather than things that divide us.
Yes, and you also talk about negotiations in your book and how important negotiations are. And I'm glad you're teaching that because I don't think most people know how to negotiate. They just use their feelings and then they get defensive or they get hurt or whatever, and they don't know how to bring that person back into their team. And so, you know, everything blows up. So I'm very happy that you're teaching negotiations as well. And,
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
Oh, no, I wanted to hear what you were going to say.
I was just going to say, just with negotiations, the important part there too is that we have to understand that negotiations are the start to a relationship. Even if you're talking, you know, we just bought an RV. with everything that's going on, there isn't a lot of places for us to go. So we went out, my wife and I went out and bought an RV so we could get away, be isolated, and still go out and do something. Well, we bought it from a gentleman and his wife, and we could have been much more aggressive on the pricing. You know, I had the right negotiation skills. I've learned how to do this. But that doesn't make a lot of sense. The idea was there for him to have a fair price and for me to get a fair deal out of this, which is what we ended up doing. And we both walked away happy from the negotiation. You know, 3 weeks into it, we're on our first trip, and there are certain things that just didn't seem like they were working right. I was able to pick up the phone and call him, and he was able to say, no, you don't want to do this. No, that doesn't have to be fixed. Try doing this, this, and this. That's me a lot of money. If I had gone to the negotiation of trying to beat somebody down, of trying to steal as much as, you know, that the only way I can win a negotiation is by the other person losing, I would lose all of that. If you negotiate for a salary and you beat your employer down, you're not going to have a good relationship with them, and vice versa. If you hire an employee and you don't pay them a fair wage, if you don't pay them a fair value, you're not going to get a relationship with them. Everything that I can think of in negotiations involves three things. Number one, understanding the pluses and minuses of both sides. Number two, understanding what's success for both sides. Because, again, if it's a one-sided relationship negotiation, it's not going to be a relationship. And number three, understanding that you're setting up the foundation for a relationship, that I make much more money off of a client if I keep them for 5 years than if I get one great deal off of them. If you look at life and negotiations that way, whether it's personal or in business, you'll find that not only are you getting what you need at a price that's fair, but you're building relationships that are going to help you for the rest of your life.
That's fantastic. So do you think that your book is applicable to other groups besides fathers and sons?
I would hope so. And again, most of the readers, I have a website where people can come, and especially you were talking about how tough it is for business. You know, I'm giving back and saying to any business that's out there that needs help, you know, write me in on my website. I will give you free advice. I won't sell you anything. I will help you with your business because I think everybody's got to get through this. And I help people with negotiations and everything else. The majority of the people who come in are women. They're typically women in their 30s and 40s. And they are, you know, they're looking for the father and son relationship obviously isn't applicable. But again, they're looking for somebody to help them accomplish the things that they want to accomplish. And that's where I think we can give back and help. And I hope the book gives you that. Regardless of whether you were born Hispanic or born Anglo, born with a father, you know, a son, a daughter, whatever it is, I think core human values are core to all of us.
Absolutely. And so your book, Lessons from the Lean Master, it has really a lot of emphasis on being genuine and ethical. And why did you stress that?
Because I didn't, you know, and that was one of the things I picked up from my father. And I didn't know I was picking up. It was through osmosis. All the different lessons that I thought at the end of the day really came back to that one lesson about, you know, being an adult, being a person who understands that your family's watching you, that your friends are watching you, and do you want to be a genuine, straight person? And really the lesson I got from my dad was that when you are true to who you are and you're good to people, you're going to be a happy person. And at the end of the day, whether it's business or personal, isn't that what you want, is to be happy, is to feel good about our life, you know, your life? We're all going to get to the point someday where we're going to die. We're all going to get to a point where our life is more behind us than in front of us. Don't you want to look back and feel good about what you did and who you did it with and how you helped others? And I think because most people are genuinely good people, that if we can encourage people to have the strength to be who they are and still be able to accomplish good things and bring other people, they're going to feel better about themselves. They're going to be happier. And I know that looking back even on times that were relatively tough in my time, I've always been a happy person. And I think I've been a happy person because my father and my parents taught me to be true to who I am. And I think that would be very helpful to a lot of people in life.
You remind me of Congressman Moorhead, may he rest in peace, who I interviewed a couple times on a former cable TV show I had, and I asked him what was missing in Congress today. And this was back in, let's see, about 20 years ago. And he said, but I never forgot what he said. He said that the most important things are basically what you're saying. He says, we need to elect people and bring back people with ethics and values and principles and honesty and morals. He said, those are the people that we need to elect into public office in order to preserve the United States of America in the future. And that was 20 years ago. So basically, I think your father and your parents and you are right on track. And for this time now, where there's so much unrest in our country and so many people worried about their businesses and their jobs. So why don't you now take the opportunity on Time to Shine and tell us any message you want to leave with our audience, where they can get your book, and how they can contact you.
I appreciate that very much. The book, Lessons from the Lend Master, is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and I like to say wherever fine books are sold. If you need help, if you have questions, if your business isn't doing well and you just want free advice, go to RZ, as in Ron Zayas, rzseminars.com. And, you know, use the contact form in there. There's lots of other articles. But contact me and tell me what you need. I'm happy to help. I really would like to give back, and I'm not going to sell you anything. It's just free advice to help businesses during this very tough time. Rose, I can't thank you enough for having me on your show. I really do appreciate this.
You are so welcome, Ron Zeiss, and you keep up the good work and keep helping people, because, you know, there's always a reward when we do reach that time when we go to heaven. And so, you know, that's the goal, is to make sure that we're right with God in the end. And I think, you know, you will be teaching more people that message, and what we do today and our choices and our ethics are so important to the rest of the world, not just to us, but to future generations. And I believe that is so important. So everyone get a copy of Lens from the Lend Master, Business and Life Lessons Learned by a Grateful Son. And thank you so much, Ron Zayas, and God bless you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Take care.
All righty. Bye. And Ron Zayas has left the building, and we have learned a lot. We've been enlightened and empowered from lessons from the Lend Master. Contact him and buy his book. And now we're going to turn into the world of politics, Rose's commentary, so on her views and opinions. So don't touch that dial, because we will be back in just a moment with more exciting information that touches your life and mine.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you. But some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car... Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion? Not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So from Rose Colombo's home on the Colombo Chronicles Live to your home, Colombo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
That's right. We don't want to have to send the familia.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up. And Colombo Chronicles Live.
But we will if we must. Just joking, just joking. Let's see if I can locate that information I wanted to share with you right now. I think it's very important to everyone, and it is by Business Insider. It says, coronavirus temperature scans are nothing more than pandemic security theater. In some cases, they're dangerous. This reminds me of an article and a video I watched on the infrared gun being pointed at your forehead, and that is a very negative behavior for little children to see or for people to experience, knowing that people in the Middle East and communist nations have guns held to their head and they're shot. That's my opinion. Very negative. And especially with the BLM and Antifa and the Democrats calling to defund the police and painting the entire Department of Justice as racist and police abusers, which is totally ridiculous. They're out there murdering people without prosecution because the Democrats who are wealthy from Hollywood, CEOs, and New World Order members like George Soros are funding them through the Open Society and Act Blue and so forth, and super PACs bailing them out of jail. Or it appears that the charges disappear and they're set free. This is insane. This is insanity. So I also read that the and saw a video that showed the infrared gun pointed at someone's head for their temperature, and they said that the infrared is pointed at the pineal gland and that it affects the brain negatively and it can harm the brain. So instead of doing research and publishing scientific studies on these high-powered advanced technologies, such as pointing an infrared gun at your brain, whether it is quick and fast, which is a benefit, versus the direct adverse health effects to your brain. Where are the doctors? Where are the scientists? Where are the publications? And where's our civil rights? Where's our constitutional rights to say no? Like Nancy Reagan said, just say no. Oh, they won't let you into the doctor's office. They won't let you into the dental office. They won't let you fly. Do you see the pattern here? If you don't wear a mask, if you don't, this is communism. This has nothing to do with health. This is communism, in my opinion. They are training us up like little seals. Line up, distance, isolate, pointing infrared guns at our forehead, probably affecting our brains negatively, and wearing goggles and gloves and masks. We are being trained up, like in communist China, North Korea, Cambodia, the Middle East. Now, China and the Middle East have always worn masks for generations upon generations. The women, their whole face is covered up in many, many cases where you only see their eyes. And they're wearing black in the sun and out in the desert. And they don't talk about all the women that faint or die from being heavily clothed in black with only their eyes showing. And so if masks worked, then why has China and Saudi and the Middle East and Africa rational plagues of SARS and MERS, which is the coronavirus? They should be virus-free. So the Business Insider says, public thermometer scans for COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus, are not only useless, but also may be fueling, F-U-E-L-I-N-G, the virus spread. Let me repeat that. Public thermometer scans for COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus, are not only useless, but also may be fueling the virus spread. On-the-go temperature checks are wildly inaccurate. They are wildly inaccurate. Also, not everyone with COVID-19 has a fever. So much for temperature readings that force receptionists and salon owners and business owners and airlines to be your doctor and determine whether or not you have a virus and determine whether or not you can travel or go to work or go to school or go shop. Do you see what is happening? This is, in my opinion, pre-planned pandemic, pre-planned civil unrest. In 1996, on my show, Issues of the Day, cable television, when cable wasn't super popular, but my show was super popular and hit the Reader's TV Guide. And I would discuss these issues, and I would have congressmen and senators and community leaders and lawyers and so forth on my show, and victims of legal abuse who would tell their stories. Well, one of my guests was Anthony J. Hilder. Anthony J. Hilder revealed on my show that the federal government had a presidential order that pre-planned a pandemic with quarantines and curfews, and that they had built FEMA camps, and that they had secretly built these FEMA camps in private prisons and private juvenile facilities. And these private facilities are prisons, and so is the FEMA camps. So America has the highest rate of incarceration of their own citizens than any other country in the entire world. We are the free American superpower. And yet we have more citizens thrown into prison or jails than any country in the entire world, including China and Russia. So we get the award for that. And so what do prisons, why are prisons built? They are warehouses, as I pointed out in my book, Fight Back Legal Abuse. They warehouse people. Private prisons, private juvenile facilities, government facilities, government prisons, government jails. They are warehouses, and they warehouse people. And in the past, there were very few children ever put into a juvenile facility. There were very few women ever put in a juvenile facility until the age of the Clintons in the White House and Holder and all the rest of the Democrats who are still there today in many cases. So these activities were going on using our tax dollars without our knowledge. So Anthony J. Hilder stated on my show, and he called Bill Clinton Comrade Clinton, and he said that at this time that these private prisons involving President Bush and G.H.W. Bush and and Vice President Cheney at that time, were all involved in using our tax dollars to build these private prisons and FEMA camps and purchase the FEMA trains. And then under Obama, Obama purchased thousands of FEMA trains because I confirmed it with my former congressman and his staff that they were using tax dollars not only to buy up tons of ammunition, but also FEMA trains. I saw them in three different states. There were thousands of them. They're the scariest looking things that you could ever imagine. And so I asked them, who are they for? What's on them? Or who's intended to be on them? And what is their purpose? And where is their destination? Where are they stored? They said they could not give me any of that information, even though they're buying them with our tax dollars. So in this executive order or presidential order, Anthony Hildreth stated on that show, which was taken down by YouTube, of course, and that they intended a pre-planned pandemic, quarantines, curfews, patrols on the streets, and they would put anyone, they call them right-wing extremists, who did not comply with whatever they forced you to comply with, like knocking down your door, confiscating your guns, and now it appears the COVID vaccination with possible RFID chip that actually is alleged to change your DNA, and you will no longer think for yourself, you will only obey, and you will be punished if you don't obey. So they said that they would take the right-wing extremists to the camps. They call them government facilities, because I also read it online. Government facilities to be reprogrammed like they do in communist China. People who don't comply are taken by force to be reprogrammed at their camps. So this is not something new. This is something that's been creeping into our government for a very long time, decades. And these are people who we elected. These are people who we trusted. These are people who we pay for their entire lives with benefits and pay and health care and pensions with our tax dollars. And most of them made themselves extremely wealthy and still take their taxpayer wages every month and their pensions, despite their wealth or how they got their wealth. So this is not something that just happened at all. Also, this article says the scans are done out in public when sick people have already been exposing others. And then we have BLM and Antifa and the thousands for months gathering and herding, and some wear masks, some don't wear masks. They do wear the COVID bandit mask when they are murdering someone and kicking them to death and dragging them out of the cars and burning down buildings, and because they're cowards, they don't want to show their face. But why worry? Why worry if there's a bailout fund by the wealthy? So the article also says, a better idea is monitoring temperatures across a population using at-home thermometer readings to track where illnesses may be spreading. One smart thermometer company, Kinza, is already doing this and seeing some success. Well, why can't we just take our own temperatures? Why can't we take our own family's temperatures, like we've always done for generations? And why can't we just go to our own personal doctor if we're sick, or to the ER? There's free clinics. Anyone can go to the ER. They cannot turn them away. And then, of course, most people have a personal doctor that they can go visit and be have a physical checkup. So why do they have, and under what constitutional and civil rights authority do they have to force business owners and airlines to be your personal doctor and take your temperature, naked x-ray you with radiation when the government said that the sunbeds with radiation were unsafe and they were regulating them, but then they turned around and they forced you to be radiated at the airports, naked x-rayed. We have no idea what happens to those films. And radiation can cause death, cancer, aging, cataracts, and sterility, and even can stunt the growth of little children. So here we have infrared guns pointed at our heads, which is a bad behavior for little children to see and intimidating for most people who have to do it and who are having it done to them, with an infrared ray shooting through their skull, their skin, and possibly having a direct adverse health effect to their brain. They can also, I read and heard on a video by a doctor, that they can just take your temperature by your wrist. They can point it at your wrist. They do not have to point it at your head. So I just wanted to bring that up to you. Unfortunately, I have to close, but remember, injustices can happen to you, and they can happen to me. Together, we can make a positive difference. Remember, when you listen to Columbo Chronicles Live, you are never alone. So until next Wednesday, when we have another dynamic guest on another dynamic topic, I will wish you the best, and I wish you to be safe. God bless you. God bless everyone around the world, and may God place his hand on the world and protect innocent people from evil people, psychopaths, and who have no conscience, and bless all those victims who are being persecuted, like Christians and Jews and Coptic Christians and Christian converts around the world, and the natural-born American babies around the world who are being wiped out. Take care. Talk to you next Wednesday. This is the Rose. Rose Colombo signing off.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.